This episode of Recap the Recap is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. Go to tweakedaudio.com, put in the code IDS, get 33% off and free shipping. There. Hey, boy, hey. Hey, girl, hey. What's going on? It's been so long. We're back in the studio. How you guys been? Great, I hope. I am Queen Neen, and in the studio with me today is...
Your man, McB. What's going on, everybody?
What is going on, people? Yay! I'm happy to be back in the studio, trying to get it together. You know, some things to take care of. And so we didn't tape last week. We appreciate your patience. You know, I'm sure you guys already know by now that, you know, Big B lost his brother. And so we were taking a little time off and, you know, to, you know, just... take some time off. Nothing more needs to be said. So you can find me on Twitter at @MS_SmartyPants with a Z. You can find the show at Recap the Recap. B, where can they find you?
And you can find me on Twitter.
On Twitter.
At NDeep Show B. I feel like there's somewhere else I can be found. I just don't know about it. You can find me on Facebook.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Under...
That's up to you to do that.
So they have to go scouting.
That was just it. You have to find me.
You have to go scouting and look for you.
I'm going to make this easy for you.
Yeah, that's right.
And then once you find me, you have to, you know, you have to swoo me.
Oh.
You know?
Try to get in your... in your cycle.
Got to get in my podcast pants.
But you're very festive today, may I say.
I don't know. Festive? I'm not festive. I am properly dressed for the occasion.
Can you go out of the house in that outfit?
If I was 20. I have on my redskin pajamas and a redskin t-shirt. It's not festive. It's... Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's football.
Yeah, that's not festive.
Whatever. To me, it is. Because it's like it can get you in the mood. Because it's football Sunday in America.
So, and there's your awkward transition.
You know what? You're going to stop taking that from me.
You just did it. Because that football in America shit you just said was so awkward.
Wait, that's how it goes, right?
I don't even know what that is.
Whatever. They always have that commercial when they say Sunday Night Football in America. And it's like the little echo. I was trying to do my own echo.
Hence awkward.
I mean, I wasn't sure if you were ready. I mean, I know you got something back there where you could do an echo for me, but I wasn't sure if you were ready and quick enough to hit my echo.
Last chick that I was quick with complained.
Oh.
So I take my time these days.
Okay, well, you're right. Thank you for this. Anywho, do you remember like a little bit ago we talked about Snapchat?
I do.
Yeah, so I was saying I didn't think it was a great idea because, you know, so the picture supposedly disappears when you send, you know, take the picture, send it, and it's supposed to disappear within seconds, or I guess. So I didn't think it was a good idea because I was saying, you know, people can still take a picture of the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now over 200,000 pictures have been released. Kind of remember how the whole actress and the one celebrity dude, the actor, nobody wanted to see that shit. Like their nudes and photos got leaked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now it's the people of Snapchat. Their stuff got leaked. And the bad part about it is they say a majority of the people that use Snapchat are between 13 and 17 years old. So, yuck. So that's kind of like, that's gross. So I'm like, I wonder, did they like, I wouldn't think someone would just look through and say, okay, not that one, not that one, not that one. That looks like a kid, not that one, not that one. They're just going to leak everything they can get their hands on. And yeesh. So yeah, people out there. So hopefully you weren't using Snapchat, and hopefully your photos didn't get leaked. But I think it's super gross that they did that, like I said, knowing that majority of the people that use it are underage, because that's some jail time. Although I don't know if they'll ever find those people that actually leaked it. Snapchat said it had nothing to do with them. It was through a third party, but I'm going to side eye them on that. So, do you have Snapchat?
I think you're just a fool going in the door if, you know, all these people that, no, I'm not going to use Facebook Messenger because you don't know who reading your stuff or who's seeing your stuff. And really, do me a favor. Just get off the grid.
Yeah.
If you start your car in the morning, if you ride the metro, if you enter your office workspace, if you go to Starbucks, if you go out to eat, if anything you do is being recorded, if someone needs your information, they will get it.
That's true.
Okay? Just rest assured of that.
I keep hoping somebody will hack my account, see there's no money in it, and then put money in it.
Yeah. I'll address you after I finish addressing these idiots that think by not getting on Facebook Messenger, they're going to be the ones that's safe from the cyber.
So what are the Facebook Messenger people? I know it was like that whole thing.
Come on, people, just stop.
Yeah, you know, if you go into settings, you can do what you want.
First of all, if you are relaying messages that are that damaging and incriminating, they already know.
They're watching.
Hopefully you wouldn't be the dude like instant messaging where you're going to make your cocaine drops and shit. Right.
Remember when I killed that person?
And if you are, LOL. Then you need to be called anyway.
Right.
So yeah. Same thing. If you take a picture and send it to someone, just know, even if it never comes to the surface, someone other than your intended target saw that picture.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it may not, and that's not to say that the person showed it. I feel, mm-hmm. and I'm totally comfortable with it,
mm-hmm.
that somewhere in some dark, you know, remember the TV show Get Smart where you had to go through those like 25 doors? There is someone in a room somewhere
mm-hmm.
that just collects all that shit.
Oh, I'm sure.
And he's just down there just, you know, beating off on your pictures.
Oh, gosh.
Thinking that he's not being seen, you know.
Okay.
But no, I mean, I feel that someone is watching.
Mm.
So just go ahead and take the nudies. Just don't put your face in it.
Right.
You know, and let it be. Or be that dude or be that chicken. Let them know this. Well, I got some good shit, don't I?
Because you are right that if you send a picture to somebody and you think really that person's only going to be the person, right. that's you're fooling yourself.
Right.
Because I have guy friends who are like, look at this. And I'm like,
But you got to understand, that's not even level one of your picture being seen.
Right.
That might be like level three or four. Where the person that you sent to actually shows it to someone else.
What's one then?
I just, levels of the government.
Oh, okay.
I rest assured that someone in the government saw it even before I did. Like, as soon as you press send it and went to them first, then they forwarded that shit.
Do you remember, like, this is like some old people shit, but you remember, like, when people actually took their cameras and stuff and to, like, CVS or Rite Aid and had to get their pictures developed?
Dumbasses.
You know.
They the same ones.
You know.
That we're talking about right now.
Right. There's stuff on that camera that somebody made an extra copy for them just to put in their, their
what was that?
WAP files.
What was that?
No, not WAP. FLAP. What?
That movie, 1 hour photo.
Oh, I didn't see it, but I know exactly. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. He was super creepy.
Yes, he was.
In that movie, R.I.P. Super creepy. But just know.
Just know.
And if you're cool with it, then this story's not for you then.
That's the thing. That's the thing. If you got a banging body, well, shit.
Or nice.
Be that.
Nice, big.
That photo might. That photo might get to the right person and be like, I need to find who this person is. And next thing you know, you're like freaking, you know,
Kim Kardashian.
Something.
Hey.
It happens. Hey. Get over it, people.
It does. Or don't do it. Stop sending them.
Big Brother is here to stay.
Especially with the Ebola czar now. It's going to be everybody. Everybody's watching.
Did we learn anything from SARS?
Huh?
So didn't we learn anything from SARS?
You think?
What's today's date?
I think it's the 19th.
The 19th.
Mm-hmm. It's your prediction.
Talk to me November 19th and let me know where this story. I mean, have we like wiped out Utah yet or something?
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Come on now. I think we'll still be. We can still count the deaths on one hand.
I agree.
And it'll still.
I mean, so far it's only one. Yeah, one black guy.
Right.
Oop.
I think they killed him just because of that shirt he was wearing in that picture.
You know what?
What?
What was wrong with that shirt?
That John was party all the time.
Maybe he was at a party.
Yeah. And when he got home and took his clothes off, that shirt continued to party in the closet by itself. That shirt was just on the hanging, dancing and shit. I love to move it, move it.
Ooh, not that song. That's the song that goes with that shirt.
They don't? Tell me it don't. That joint was lime green with the heavy black stitching around the butterfly collar.
Yes.
Good God. And look, next time you see that picture, just say this to yourself and tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
In that picture, he looked like he's saying, why in the fuck did I put this shirt on?
Okay. I'm pretty sure that wasn't the look.
Fuck, did I listen to her and put this shit on it? Jeez, go ahead.
Okay. R.I.P., dude. Your shirt lives on.
They can't get the Ebola out of that shirt.
Maybe he didn't have it when he... Oh, man, stop. Don't make me laugh over this. This is not... That ain't right.
Yeah, that shirt on when he wouldn't have contracted that shit. They kept him moving.
He would have kept moving. Okay. Well, let me see. So he's the only person that died. And then you have another black lady. Huh. Well, I just saw something like a brief article that said something about two porn stars that were sitting beside the nurse on the flight from Dallas to Cleveland. You know, they've been quarantined. I'm like, wow. I'm sure that's probably not the first time that they've been quarantined.
That's what I'm saying. That's a whole different... That one will be hitting the stores shortly.
I mean, really. Oh, my gosh. What would they call it? What would the name, the porn title?
That would be...
Oh, my God. Would they do it on... Like, it'd be a, like a plane setting. And it would be like those two dudes and like a chick playing her...
It would be Ebola X.
Wrap it, but don't wrap it.
Something. Oh, my God.
Oh, never mind.
Mile High Ebola.
Ebola X. You know, I was dying over that. I was like, I want to do smack mark.
I'm saying.
Oh, for you guys who, you know, you may not have heard the latest In Deep show. Our brethren, Marky Mark, Ebola was the word he kept saying. We were like, Ebola, really? But anyway, I'm getting teary because it was really funny. And then Drew added her own spin on it, of course. But anyway, all right, okay, let me go ahead on with these stories. So on to as we like to say, on to your girl, Stacey Dash. This heifer just don't know when to shut the hell up. Like, you know, sometimes it's like you have those thoughts where it's like the words just keep tumbling out your mouth, and you I don't know. She just seems like to me one of those people that should really think before she actually speaks. Don't just start talking. Process it in your brain. Process it. Process, process, process. Then maybe change some words and then spit it out. It would be like a lot of dead air with her, but that's okay. Oh, I think she, yeah, anyway. So I don't know if you heard about this, but she was just recently on Hannity, the guy who hosts named Sean Hannity from Fox News. So, So Sean asked Stacey if voting for Barack Obama and the Democrats have helped the minority community. And she answered with no, not at all. It still keeps them stuck. They are getting money for free. They feel worthless. They're uneducated. And she's talking about minority neighborhoods. I mean, by minority, we all know what she's saying. She goes on to say, I mean, as long as you are that way, she's talking about the Democrats, can keep you under their control. Oh, girl. She also goes on to say that the Democrats have a plantation mentality, and that if they keep giving services and money to low-income voters, they won't think for themselves. Stacey? Girl? Really? You think being a Democrat makes you feel worthless? Like you think you're worthless? Because I'm a Democrat, but I don't feel worthless. I mean, I'm sure the hell I ain't getting no money. I live in a minority neighborhood.
That's what I was wondering. What money is she talking about?
Yeah, I have no idea what the fuck she's talking about.
I ain't got shit.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't get free fucking anything. I don't get free nothing. Okay? I'm like,
no, I want to talk about some money right now, too. I need to know where's my 40 acres.
You know what? Speaking of, sidebar real quick, speaking of 40 acres, I can't remember which tribe, Native American tribe, they just got $550 million to split. That's kind of like their 40 acres. I read that article. I was like, what the what? Damn.
I need to follow that money trail back.
Like, must be nice.
To Dan Snyder.
Oh, see?
It was earmarked hush money.
You know, the funny part is, I wonder where they're from. What if it was a local? Right. What if it was like the tribe of Landover? Yeah.
That's how I got this name. It was the Landover. The Rising Sun.
Oh, my. Okay.
Horrible accent.
A little bit, but that's okay. Still funny. But, all right. So, everybody in the DMV should already know.
White man cometh with check.
That's somebody's name? Is that what you're trying to say? Okay. I thought you were giving out a new Native American name.
That's what I'm saying. He says, the white man cometh with check. $550 million.
That is so bananas. To split amongst them, you know, can't be that many.
That's what I'm saying.
I was a little hatery right there. It was like, am I going to ever get my 40 acres? Am I going to be alive to see some 40 acres in a mule?
Has that check been delivered already?
By now it should be, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to check Wall Street and buy some stock.
Stock in what? Okay. Anywho. All right. Well.
All the turquoise I can
find. Really? Hey, I say all you should just go to Ancestry.com and, you know, we are, black people always say there's some Indian in their family, so maybe you know you're related. You know what I'm saying? So maybe you're related to the tribe.
West Indian.
Not that guy.
Come on, I forget something, you know.
Not that Indian. No, not that one. Not that one.
Not a push or a pull.
Mm-mm. Not you. So those that are in the DMV, you should know. Actually, no matter where you are, you should know this weekend, it's Howard Homecoming. H-U. You know. So I saw an article that said that the Yard Fest was being moved. And I thought, no. Oh, my gosh. It's been tradition that, I mean, so many people have performed during Yard Fest. I mean, you have Drake. You have Jay-Z. You have Biggie. You have, well, Puffy's, you know, kind of, sort of. Well, I mean, I guess they gave him honorary, but a graduate of Howard. And I couldn't believe that they moved it, but, you know, got a couple of people from the outside acting up. So, of course, last year, you know, people tried to jump the fence and, you know, people got hurt by them doing that. I know they were trying to do a little bit of crowd control by charging and putting up the fence, but clearly that didn't work. So that was a little bit disappointing. So I can't wait to hear from my fellow alumni and, you know, folks, let me know, like, how was homecoming? Did you go to any of the events that were off campus? I mean, it's super weird. But so they did the Yard Fest, you know, I mean, they're going to take it off of the yard. And then so they are doing the Mecca Fest. And then they also did another concert at the Armory. So that's kind of makes me really sad that they did that. Maybe next year, you know, it'll be okay. I mean, they've had like 20,000 people in the yard before and everybody was cool. Everybody was having a good time. But, you know, you always have a couple little monkeys.
Then Waka Faka came out.
Oh, see, go ahead. You know, people acting a little crazy. And then that's what you get. So I hope you guys had fun this weekend. And I think it was Bowie and some other school that begins with the H. I can't remember the name right now. So hopefully y'all had a great weekend. We're going to go to break real quick. And we will be right back.
Yes, she does.
On a sunny day, I saw my dress rocking some top 10.
How she displayed,
yeah. Walking around, without a care. Headphones in hair, a smile and a derriere.
Shade of brown, crisp from the rays that's raining down. Never a rush, let's have some lunch. On the steps, cats playing jazz. Guess today we're skipping class.
Welcome back. Let's get into the podcast. We are recapping the show. The show describes itself as New York Times music critics John Perales. Excuse me if I'm mispronouncing your name incorrectly. Ben Ratliff, John Caramonica, and Nate Chanin. Talk each week about the latest pop music, news, the top songs, the best album, the biggest stars, and the up-and-coming stars you haven't heard of yet. The podcast that we are recapping today is Music Pop Cast. It looks like the show tapes once a week, and the show isn't longer than about like 30 minutes, which I think is pretty cool. So let's get into it. All right, so in this clip, they're talking about R&B and it being marginalized. And I'm thinking, okay, when did that happen? And they also say something about Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber being R&B. And I was like, wait, what? But anyway, okay, play the clip and we'll talk about it after.
In hip hop, there are a lot more rappers who are very proud to be part of the tribe of hip hop, and they don't feel like being called hip hop is going to limit them or drag them down.
No, although I do think that hip hop as a genre is like a far more commercially successful genre, so why wouldn't you want to be a part of it?
Right.
Whereas R&B has been marginalized systematically over the years, partially through racial categorization and partially through the sort of borrowing of some of the key elements into pop music.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make a case that the sort of the most popular R&B singer of 2014 is Beyonce, and then if you want to put Beyonce to the side, the second most popular R&B singer is Ariana Grande.
Right.
Ariana Grande is not out here advertising herself as an R&B singer.
Right.
Even though she fundamentally is. In my mind, Justin Bieber is an R&B singer.
Chris Gaines.
Okay, wait, what? I mean, okay, let me be honest. You know I'm not into music like I used to be. Now I listen to podcasts, you know, and then I listen to WTOP, which is a news station over here in the DMV. But, I mean, I feel like the Justin Bieber comment was a joke. Okay, so I'm going to give him that one.
I don't think it was.
I want it to be a joke.
It of course, from the era that we came up where R&B was actually rhythm and blues.
Right.
And not rapping bullshit.
Huh.
Our ears want to take that as a joke, but the sad thing about it is that's just exactly what he said. This is what R&B has been diminished to.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's basically pop, rock, and indie right now.
Mm.
And even rock has even softened.
Yeah.
So it's like pop and indie when you really break it down. And unfortunately, you know, that good, what we like to recognize as hip hop, not rap, you know, mm-hmm. that good hip hop is right. All in indie now. And the good R&B, I won't get into calling it neo soul like.
Yeah, they mentioned that too. Yeah.
There's nothing new about soul. Soul is soul.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If it's new to your ears, then you take that title, you know, but when I hear soul, I recognize soul. That's sad.
Mm. That really hurt my feelings. But I thought, well, am I contributing to, for lack of a better term, the demise of R&B because I don't listen to it. I don't buy any of the music because, ew. You know, I can't think of anybody great to me. I mean, let's put Beyonce aside. I can't think of anybody that's out there that's like, oh, damn, I have to get that. When that comes out, I have to get it.
I mean, there are artists like that. And you know me, I still buy music
mm-hmm.
damn near daily. And the sad thing about it is, to me, it's such almost a two-way street that it's like, you know, you say you sort of take some of the blame for the non-support. But at the same time, if you and a lot of the people that felt the same way you did
mm-hmm.
all went out and support certain things, I just feel like the machine would just retool and regear
mm-hmm.
and find a way to destroy that and make us basically herd and, you know, go somewhere else where the machine is not taking over. Let's say Joe Blow underground artist is doing his whole indie thing and mm-hmm. he has his niche support and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then just say all of a sudden it gets to the right person and the machine is not to be denied in most cases. Not in all cases, but in most cases.
Mm.
And then they get to Joe Blow and be like, hey, look, we want to slide you X amount of hundreds of thousands and sign you to a deal. Well, now that person loses that feel, you know, that intimate feel that you had with him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has the machine behind him. He has the shiny suits. He has the half-naked women. Mm-hmm. He has the, you know, every song is disrespecting black women and blah, blah, blah. So I kind of feel like it's a two-way street.
So would you consider, or is he considered, Sam Smith, is he considered R&B or is he considered pop? Because if he's R&B, I would have preferred that they would have stuck him in that sentence versus Justin Bieber.
See, again, to me, it's almost like stats in sports.
Mm-hmm.
You use it where you need it.
Mm-hmm.
So one can make the argument of, Allen Iverson was the leading scorer this year, but they don't tell you he also took the most shots to get those points.
Mm-hmm.
So what part of the story do you want? Whatever one fits, you know, it's like whatever fits your need right now. If you want to pump Iverson up, you say, oh yeah, he averaged 42 points a game this year. If you want to tear him down, you say, man, that dude took 160 shots a game this year.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like, what part of the music game do you want to pump up? And you put the artist where you need them to put it. That's how I feel.
I hear you. I dig it. Did you answer me, though? Sam Smith?
That's what I'm saying. Where do you want him? Do we need to make pop feel good and whatever, whatever, because he's hot right now?
Well, I was asking you, I mean, from your perspective. Okay. All right. Very well.
I don't know if I really care enough about him. I mean,
I really like his voice, though.
He has a song out. All right.
That's it.
That's my point exactly. Can I get some more offerings?
He has two songs out.
Okay. Well, are both songs on the same level, or is the second song piggybacking the strength of the first one for right now?
I think they're both on the same
level. If they would have put them out in reverse order, would the second song be as hot?
Maybe.
Okay.
And that's a shoulder shrug, maybe.
Interesting.
Shoulder shrug. All right. So in this next clip, they're talking about, you know, they're still talking about R&B. And I'm going to get the exact episode for you guys in case you want to go back and listen to it. So let's play the clip and we'll talk about it.
Also, hip-hop. Also, R&B... it's for adults, you know?
For sure.
R&B is for adults. A lot of people love hip-hop when they're younger, and then they get to a point where they say, oh, this isn't for me anymore, but I will have my R&B.
Those people are lame.
Are they?
Yeah, listen to Young Thug.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All right.
But doesn't it make you want to serve these people a new kind of R&B?
And again, I think you can contend that this possibility has always been there. And maybe what we're seeing now are audiences who are raised in R&B no longer need its politics or no longer demand that social function, but still want to find a future value in R&B. They don't want to experience it the way their parents experienced it or their older brothers experienced it, but they do want to experience it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess I can see R&B being for adults. But I'm like, but hip hop is like, you know, once you get older, you know, am I like lame now? Because I don't know. I don't really, you know me, I don't really even listen to hip hop because I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if I misheard what he said. And I've listened to this show twice,
mm-hmm.
Three times if you count recording clips.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily feel that I totally believe. Well, I'm not going to say I don't believe. I think right now the need for the sort of politics in R&B,
mm-hmm.
and the need for social change in R&B,
mm-hmm.
I think that window is so wide open right now. Mm-hmm. And we're starving for that. You know what I'm saying? Imagine the right person getting behind another project like Marvin Gaye did,
mm-hmm.
with like Mercy Mercy Me or whatever, you know. That we need that.
Mm.
I feel we need it.
Do you think though that the people, like younger people, do you think that they would could get behind something like a Marvin Gaye-ish kind of thing?
The right artist?
Yeah.
The right art. If the right artist doesn't, mm-hmm. we can't pull one of our greats to do it mm-hmm. because he's going to appeal to us. Mm-hmm. But if you get the right rising star mm-hmm. to do it and do it in the right way, you know what I'm saying? Because even with that album, it wasn't void of melody. It wasn't void of you know, it wasn't just in your face. You're just getting a message and nothing else. I'm just going to preach to you and you get nothing else from this album. Mm-hmm. You know, Marvin masterfully got the music, he got the message, you know, and everything. He gave it to you as a complete package. I think it can be done, but again, it would have to be done by the right artist, and I don't know who that artist is, unfortunately.
Ditto. Let me see. So the name of this episode is Tinashe, FKA Twigs, and the Semantics of R&B.
No doubt. Just let me get in real quick. When I first listened to the show, kind of had that one eyebrow up, like, where are these guys going? Mm-hmm. You know? And as I listened, I was so pleased by their balance. And I was even further pleased by their level of knowledge of the music. And, you know, because I've listened to a couple other shows mm-hmm. that are on a sort of large platform like they are. Mm-hmm. And you can basically tell that someone handed them a sheet of notes right before they started recording. And, you know, they don't know anything to compare what they're currently talking about to something else similar or something else in the past or whatever. And it just comes off as very fake. Mm-hmm. And this one didn't. As I listened to a couple shows, you know, I was like, all right, these guys, you know, they know their stuff. Mm-hmm. And that, when you gain trust in someone knowing what they're talking about, you know, you're a little bit more open to accept what they're saying.
Agreed.
And which brings me to this next portion that I want to play here. And Queenie, uh-uh. This is an age-old argument that is never going to die. But you know what? This was a refreshing take on the argument. And I gained so much respect for them to admit their wrongs, admit their growth as critics, mm-hmm. and just be open about their feelings. And I'm going to dedicate this next section to artists out in California.
I already know where you're going with this.
Okay.
I just want to talk with you about what does it mean to prepare to write an article about the new Chris Brown album.
Well, you know, a thing I pointed out in the piece is he's now released twice as many albums since that incident as he had prior to that incident.
Right.
So 4 albums since the incident, 2 albums prior to the incident. And I'm pretty sure I've written about each of those albums in some form or fashion. And I feel like I face the same conundrum each time, which is you want to contextualize where the music is coming from.
Yes.
You want to contextualize how the music might be received. But as someone who writes about music for a living, part of what you want to do is listen to the music on its own terms.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Possible.
Because we all these days are much better with our eyes than our ears, you know? We listen through our eyes, in fact, mm-hmm. many of us. And so critics tend to want to be the counterweight to that. You know, we want to say, all right, let's really listen hard. Let's find out if anything's going on in the music. Mm-hmm. Just for a minute, if it's possible, forget about the rest. But do you find that this is particularly hard with Chris Brown?
I think it's particularly difficult with him. I think it's, for a long time, it was particularly difficult, like I said, with R. Kelly.
Right. Can you quantify the difference a little bit?
Between the two of them?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know that there is a difference for me. I think for me, and this may be different for you or another critic, a difference for me is that when R. Kelly was having his most public problems during the lawsuit, or during the trial, and in the era just before the trial, when people had, you know, were aware of the existence of the videotapes, and, you know, even though it was never officially confirmed that it was him, it was widely believed to be him. I was younger. And I think, as a human being, my initial reaction was, if this guy's guilty, I don't want to support anything he does. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put my name on something that feels positive,
right,
even remotely, about this person.
Right.
That feels wrong to me. That feels like a misuse of my critical function. And then a few things happened. I got older. He was found not guilty of the charges. I don't fundamentally believe that, but he was found not guilty. And he continued to make records that were relevant records. Mm-hmm. They were near the center of the musical conversation, whether or not I was participating.
Are you saying what you wanted to do was ignore him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that increasingly difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after a while, I found it increasingly irresponsible. Because if this person's going to continue to be near the center of the conversation, I'm just one person.
Right.
My opinion may have a little bit of weight here and there, but it doesn't shift the overall tide.
Right.
Hmm. Very interesting. That was a super long clip, but
so, like I was saying, Casey. I mean,
you know what?
What happened?
Cut it out. That was a really long clip.
Hey, Casey. That's beside the point. It needed to.
If you let me finish. In. Okay, thank you. If you let me finish. It was a really long clip, but it was an important clip, you know, especially with that episode that you played it from. And, you know, because he made a good point, you know, and I'm sorry, I don't know which was Ben and which was John, but it's like he made a really good point. And I could see where he was coming from, saying, okay, when that happened with R. Kelly, he was younger. And then, of course, you know, as we say in America, it's like, oh, if you're not found guilty, then whatever, we move on. But, and he also said that he said he doesn't believe it, but, you know, so I guess that's okay for, you know, people to, you know, still listen to his music and buy his stuff because he was found not guilty.
But more important, I mean, I'm glad to, you know, the fact that, you know, so many people, I guess, that I've had debates with want to, because of what allegedly took place, want to discount the fact that the man still does relevant and great music. And, you know, it was good to hear from a critic that had to remove himself, you know, from discounting the fact that he mm-hmm. is still doing, you know, great music. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the whole thing sort of came about because they were talking about, you know, this episode was the Chris Brown episode mm-hmm. about his new album that came out. And they just started off by saying how, I guess they were making the debate of, at what point do we get past the whole Rihanna thing and judge him for his music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how this conversation got started, because he's like, you can't. You are responsible to, whether for the good or for the bad, say that part of his career. You have to address that part of his career.
Right.
In saying, this is how we got to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that. You know, mm-hmm. my problem, you know, with whether it's Chris Brown or R. Kelly,
mm-hmm.
my problem was people saying, oh, Chris Brown's song is trash because he hit Rihanna. What? No, that made absolutely no sense.
Mm-hmm.
If the song is trash, it's trash on its own merit. It's not trash because he hit Rihanna. You know, same thing with R. The allegations makes his music horrible. Case, I mean, you know, so yeah.
Welp, You know how I feel about R. Kelly. We've already debated.
And so good that it's not about you.
About R. Kelly. And so, anyway, as you said earlier, I do enjoy this podcast because, you know, they come from a different angle, you know, and I know that they are, you know, writers, and but I also enjoy it's just intelligent conversation and with music. Now, the one thing I will say, they really actually don't play a lot of music.
They don't. They give you a little snippet of whatever song.
Yeah,
you know,
here and there.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all right, you know, for it not to be all about the music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I also want to give props to the fact that they, unlike a lot of other writers, they talk from a critic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you notice, like a lot of other, quote, critics almost talk as though they have like 15 platinum albums in their house that they wrote.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And they don't come from that angle. At least for me, they don't. You know, and I think that's good that everyone stays in their lane. You know, they're knowledgeable of music. They're knowledgeable of the people that they're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and that's great. That's what we tune in for. We don't want to hear critics that have never dropped an album, that have never lived a life of an artist or whatever, talk as though they have,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I kind of got that out of it, and I appreciate that.
Cool.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with the
verdict.
Dun, dun, dun.
So amazing, unbelievable, miraculous woman you are. Incredible, unforgettable, you're the world's greatest by far. Sensational, so lovable, my Cinderella you are. Mm. So beautiful, it'll fabulous, you're the reason I wish upon a star. As I lay me down to sleep, I pray your heart I'll always keep it. Hope you feel the same. So baby, come and hop on board my life and just let love take us away. Dream girl, let's take a flight far away to a paradise. Dream girl, let's take a ride, destination rainbow skies. Dream girl, let's kiss and hug on the beach with white.
Hey, Casey Layman. Welcome back, y'all. It's your man, Big B. Recap the recap. The verdict is in. Tell it to the judge. They're here.
All right.
Can I take this moment of the show?
Okay. What?
To address something before we get to the verdict. As you know, I was on vacation a few weeks ago. I was able to totally unplug, get away from the studio, you know, other than actual recording days. And, of course, when I came back from there, I had a whole bunch of training to do at work. So I had, you know, people with me that, you know, didn't allow me to have my earphones in 24/7 and listen to all my favorite shows. When I came back and I was able to put my headphones back on and get caught up on my shows, because I got caught up on them, I heard some blasphemy going on. My name being run through the mud, Mr. E. Grigio. I'll be addressing you, sir, along with your cohorts, King Killer. Kurt G., he stay neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stay neutral with him. He a Redskin fan, too. Stay neutral with him. Okay, now back to your regular schedule program.
All right.
Decided to get that out there.
You feel okay?
Yeah, ownership has its privileges.
All right. Okay. So now we're going to get into the headphone criteria.
Headphone award, the awarding of headphones and everything. I got some feedback from a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some good points. And just want to acknowledge them about the way we do our little rating.
Okay.
I'm going to try to incorporate a couple of points that they made.
Okay.
And we'll get more into that later, and we'll explain it as we implement it. So yeah, mad shouts to the listeners for being astute.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm not going to interrupt you anymore.
You probably will, but it's okay.
All right.
Description of your show. Does your show description match the content? And let me remind you, New York Times music critic John Perales and Ben Ratliff, John Caramonica, and Nate Chanin talk each week about the latest pop music news, the top songs, the best albums, the biggest stars, and the up-and-coming stars you haven't heard of yet.
Mm-hmm. I'd say they're very on point with the show description.
I think I will agree with that. Okay, so
I'll keep scoring.
Thank you, because I'm like, oh Lord, I don't have a pen. So that is one headphone from me. And UB, you said you give them a headphone for that? Okay.
They've met the criteria. Yes.
All right. Consistency. How often does your show come out? And it seems that the show comes out once a week. And I think they took a little break a couple months back. But for the most part, I mean, it comes out every week. So I would give a headphone for that.
Absolutely. I'm on board.
Okay, great. Production sound quality. Can we hear you? Are there background noises? Production sound great to me. So they would get a headphone from me for production sound quality.
Although I would have to agree with the sound quality, they have the machine behind them.
The machine being the New York Times?
Yes.
Okay.
So
what are you looking for?
They probably have an engineer.
Yeah, I think so.
They probably have a sound engineer.
I think so.
Or a producer or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Just think that you don't get podcast points for that. I mean, so you have people that are struggling with duct tape and shoestring and bubble gum to keep equipment together and shit and try their best and, you know, don't know the technical side of all of this or whatever. And they work hard to put out a good product.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the machine behind you, I'm not saying, of course the sound sounds great because, you know, with X amount of hundreds of thousands of dollars, it better sound great.
Mm.
So I don't know, it's kind of tough for me to award when we're not on the same playing field.
Well,
I'm not saying I'm not going to.
Okay, I understand.
It's tough.
I understand what you're saying.
Because I just feel like we're not playing on an equal ground.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Just like for instance, you know, I love the Tony Kornheiser show. You have ESPN money behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Your shit better sound good. And there are a number of people in place to make sure it does, as opposed to us people that are soldering wires together incorrectly to try to get shit to do shit, and, you know. So I don't know. I'm going to come back to that one.
Okay.
I'll award yours. I'm going
to. Okay. Is the show engaging? Do you want to listen to past or more episodes?
I do, and I did.
Same for me as well. And lastly, entertainment, educational value. Was there laughter? Was something learned? I will say I did learn some things from the show. There was no laughter for me, but I did learn some things. I actually...
Absolutely.
In the episode in particular that I recapped, Tinashe, I had no idea who she was. So I was like, okay, well, I kind of from the little bit of music that they played from her, I was like, oh, I kind of like this, you know, her sound. And I went and I looked her up and, you know, found out a little bit about her background. And so I was like, okay, well.
I can tell you one thing from the little bit of music that I've heard from her. I don't care if you gave me front row, backstage passes and the whole shit. I could never go to a show with her, SZA, and Janae Kyle. I might try to hang myself in the front row.
Damn.
Them chicks. And I like their music, but I'm just like, I can't do a few hours of that shit. It's like, I'm either going to sleep or I'm going to try to hang myself. Because their music is just so dark.
Sometimes, though, it's like you, well, I'll say for me, it's like, I like that. That sound is kind of like a little eerie.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And it's kind of like chill. And, right. You know, I mean, granted, you have to be in, you know, for most music, in the right frame of mind, but.
And when you have control of the volume and fast forward and eject button, it's great to listen to. But if you're held captive in an arena and you know the next person coming up is going to give you more of the same. Mm. Love all their music. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. They all sound great from what I heard.
Okay.
And I have couple of their albums. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes. Yeah.
So was that one from you?
It was.
Okay, great. All right, so what is the total?
Well, as always, you gave 5.
It's not as always, I beg your pardon.
As your Swiss flag waves so high.
I am going by the criteria and if you hit all 5 points, you hit all 5 points.
And that's one of the things that the feedback mentioned. And we'll get into that because they made very valid points. Especially their valid because they kind of stand behind something, I feel. Ownership has its privileges. Yes, I'm going to give 4.5.
You and your half shit. All right, what's the half for?
I just feel that, again, I just have a thing for radio shows that record and then put on a podcast. You know, it's a great show. People should listen to it. But should my Soapbox Derby car challenge their NASCAR? I don't think it's an even race.
Okay. Well, guys, go check out.
Love the show. Don't get me wrong.
I got you.
I don't want them to send a machine after me.
Right. Go check out Music Pop, P-O-P, cast. And, you know, let us know what you think about it. And I don't think their podcast is on Twitter, but I know you can probably find Ben and John on Twitter individually. And again, the show's only 30 minutes, so that's not a lot. Time in your day. I mean, what is that? Like a commute, you know, in your car while you're, you know, check them out.
No doubt.
Learn something.
Absolutely.
All right. Quick break.
Quick break.
All right.
Get out of here.
Let's do it. hello, we're back. And now we're at that time in the show where you can talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about. Can I talk my shit? So, all right. And this is, I would say, it's a pretty popular segment. I know B has already talked his shit. And, you know, soon I will be talking my shit. And so I'd like to thank everybody that has already submitted a Can I Talk My Shit. And to the people who haven't submitted theirs yet, I'm giving you the side eye because you said you were going to send it. And it is now October. I'm going to give you like maybe one more week before I reach out and touch you again, you know, to remind you that you were supposed to send in your Can I Talk My Shit. You know, don't be shy. Talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. We don't care.
Hey, y'all, when she sends y'all that email, just send it right back and say, we lead by example.
Whatever, skis. I try to give everybody else a chance, but anyway, so I try to give everybody a chance, and I feel like, you know, I'll get my turn when it's time. You know, everybody else should be able to.
It's so time.
Everybody else should be able to talk their shit first, because there's a lot of shit out there that needs to be talked about.
Months ago.
Whatever. There's no time limit on me. As you say, podcast privilege. There's no time limit on when I talk my shit.
No, on how long you talk it. There is one on...
I can do it whenever I want.
Just do it then.
I'm trying to give everybody else time.
You did.
Well, anyway. So let's do it.
Can I talk my shit again? This is James at JWQB on Twitter, and can I talk my shit? Yes? Okay, so I want to talk about my gym frustrations. Things that frustrate me at the gym. Now, I like to do a bunch of different exercises. I like to weight train. You know, I do different cardio exercises. One of the cardio exercises that I do is I like to play basketball. What I've been encountering lately is Negroes at the basketball court who talk more shit than they should. Like, it's crazy. You know, you would think that they were the next coming of LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, even Michael Jordan, the shit that they talk. You know, they think they're in the NBA. They think that, you know, Adam Silver is signing their paychecks or something like that, when they can't even hang for 10 minutes on the basketball court, running up and down the basketball court. Ugh. And another thing, I take spin classes. And if you're in the class and your conversation is overshadowing the instructor's instruction, then you shouldn't be in the class. I don't want to hear about how your day is going, how your kids are doing, how your husband's doing, how your boyfriend's doing, you know, how your work day went, who pissed you off at work. I don't want to hear about none of that. I'm here for the instruction from the spin instructor. I don't want to hear about your day, white lady, middle-aged white lady. Please. That's it. I'm done talking about you.
are back.
All right, James. J-Dub the QB. Talk your shit. And I would totally agree with you if I was actually going to the gym right now. I've never taken a spin class, but I can imagine what you're saying.
Man.
I'm sure you can imagine the whole basketball court thing, too. Well, you don't have to imagine. You lived it, pretty much.
I'm going to try to get him a recording that he can just play in his spin class.
That says what?
Shut the fuck up!
Right. Ain't no talking with the... Pretty much. That's what's up, Jay.
J-Dub.
That's what's up. Thanks for sending in your Can I Talk My Shit. Because you talked it. And I know people out there can relate. I mean, right now I can't, but I mean, other people out there can relate.
Yeah,
so,
how about that?
You know, so, hey. Well, man, it's over.
Show cometh, show goeth.
How about that? Oh, I just wanted to say, if anybody out there is watching The Real, which is a daytime talk show, yeah, they're really crazy on that show, but they're doing very, very well in the ratings. And it's nice to see such a diverse group of young ladies, young women doing so well. So shout out to that cast. The cast of The Real. I never, ever tape a daytime talk show, but I taped that one. Go figure.
You just watch it at night on Century. It comes out twice a day.
I probably wouldn't remember if I didn't DVR it, I'll be honest.
It's a black station, by the way.
I know what Centric is. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. We're going to call you MR_SmartyPants with a Z. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to the show. Thank you for sharing that you have listened to the show. You can reach us at Recap the Recap on Twitter. You can reach us at Recap the Recap. Okay, you're really getting down over there. Gmail. So, have a great day. Fun hanging out with you, B.
Peace. And in deep show, B at Yahoo.
Nobody cares.
Did I just mix my Twitter and my email together?
Yeah, you did. But, okay, nobody cares.